In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tomorrow we'll read from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And St. Paul develops a lot of very important themes, very important theological themes, and themes about how apostles work and how the church works. And those things are important. They're important, but they're not of primary importance. What's of primary importance is that when we read the Scripture, to be touched, to be moved, to be changed, to be taught, to be rebuked, to be consoled. Obviously, in the context of truth, we can't have stuff made up because of Scripture, but we need to read Scripture, as I've told you many times, to learn something, to apply something to our life. And I hope that when you read Scripture, things jump off the page to you and touch you and make you understand something about yourself. This is what happened to me when I read this and I was thinking what I might say about it. Every time I read this particular passage, to me it has a more personal application than what St. Paul is actually speaking of. And that's perfectly fine. He's speaking of the ministry of the apostles and describing some very beautiful things. But what really catches me is at the beginning. He says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. A true statement, and a glorious one, but one that is dangerous if we don't recognize something about ourselves. There are two things that you need to know to be saved. I've spoken of this. You need to know about God, and you need to know about yourself. And so here is a statement about God that is very true, very correct. But if we don't know the next sentence and don't understand it, we will have trouble applying the first. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That is enough. The rest of the reading is about other things related to this. But this is intensely personal, and this is about us. Now, he's speaking about himself as an apostle, but there's a reason why the words were preserved, because it also applies to us as Christians, as fallen people that are destined for perfection. And so I've always been comforted somewhat by this verse because I feel very earthen. You know, the old idea of having feet of clay, I definitely feel like I have feet of clay. I remember too many mistakes throughout my life, throughout my priesthood, throughout my being a father. And so there's a comfort to me that this is part of God's plan, that we have this treasure, this glorious holiness of God within us, the Holy Spirit abiding in us, and are being indoctrinated and taught things that angels can't even look into. And yet at the same time, we're full of weakness and sloth and jealousy and just being dumb. Stuff like that happens to us all the time. So we're very earthen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so it's a comfort to me. I hope it's a comfort to you. I tell you, one of the things as a priest that I deal with all the time is when people sin, their reaction to the sin is more debilitating than the sin itself. And that reaction is often, the debilitating reaction is one of shame and of a feeling like, how could I do such a thing? I shouldn't do such a thing. I shouldn't be that person. I shouldn't be that guy that did this. And the shame makes it hard for them to actually actively repent. They're sorry, but they're not sorry in a profitable way, because their pride is making them think, I shouldn't have done this. Well, We already know you shouldn't have done it. Let's move on and work about not doing it again, and work on the things that might have made you do it, instead of dwelling on, I shouldn't have been that guy. Our shame about our sins is so debilitating. This verse speaks against that. Now, there's not anything in the scripture which says it's okay to sin. But there's a lot in scripture that says you're a sinner. So don't be surprised when you sin. That's what this verse is saying. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we do something stupid, when we do something embarrassing, when we do something that shows our weakness, when we are jealous about something that we shouldn't be jealous about, or whatever else happens in our life. Don't waste your energy being ashamed of that image of yourself that you've built up that you want to follow, because that's an idol. Instead, be ashamed of your sin and repent. And bring your earthen vessel to God and say, help me. And God will help. Truly, this is one of the things that holds back repentance more than anything else, is our own inflated view of ourselves, and then we fall. We shouldn't have an inflated view of ourselves. If we saw reality as it really is, we expect ourselves to fall. We expect ourselves to be unreliable. And that truly is the orthodox mindset about ourselves. The world doesn't want to have that mindset. They think that that's having a bad opinion of yourself, having poor self-esteem. But we understand. We shouldn't be afraid to say we are sinners. Now, I said that this gives me a lot of consolation, and it does. But I'll be honest with you. Because I'm a sinner, because I have an inflated view of myself, that somehow I shouldn't make mistakes, I shouldn't do those things, and I shouldn't be that guy, I am more comforted by this verse in the theoretical than in the practical. Because in the practical, when something happens, and usually it's not discrete things, it's usually more of a pattern, or after years and seeing, wow, I really missed the boat there. I really should have been there for this person, or I should have done that for this other person, and I didn't, and I missed it. Most of the time, for myself, it's that kind of thinking. But what I should do is I should say, I missed it, I blew it, but I shouldn't be surprised. And what can I do to correct it now, O Lord? Prayer. Something to say, something to do, something to work on. Then it's productive. Then our repentance is productive. We have to have productive repentance. Because in a way that's saying something twice, that's redundant. Because repentance by its very nature is productive. Sadness or shame or grief or feeling bad, those are not necessarily productive. They're only productive when they cause us to turn to God in order to change. And then those feelings become repentance. So may God help us to embrace that we're sinners. Not as an excuse, like the world does. The world says, whatever you do, God loves you anyway. And they misapply God's love. But instead of doing that, let's just say we're sinners. And when we sin, God help me not to sin. And if you have the humility to come before God and say, God, I am that guy. I don't want to be. God will help you. And he'll fill your earthen vessel with the Holy Spirit. And then the earthen vessel will become fire and light. So may it be so with us. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.